up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, Howie Roseman. Hello there. That's maybe what Sashi Brown is saying right now. Apparently, trade talks between the Browns and the Eagles heating up. Alex Marvez saying a framework is in place for that number two overall pick, and it goes a little something like this. The Browns will receive the eighth overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft. The Browns will receive pick 77 and 79 in the 2016 NFL draft. The Eagles would also send their first round pick in 2017 and their third round pick in 2017. So five picks in the top, you know, basically 80, 2 years, basically over the next 2 years, you'd have five picks in the top 80 yourself this year with your first, your second, three thirds. And then the following year, you'd have two ones, a two, and 2-3. So 2 years in a row, you could have 10 picks in the top three rounds there just to move from 2 to 8. That's the framework that's being discussed out there. That's the buzz right now that the Eagles want to come up. Now, I've talked to two people who are close to the Philadelphia situation, and they said on the Eagles draft board, Wentz and Ezekiel Elliott are neck and neck, and the move could be made for either the quarterback or the running back to get ahead of Dallas and prevent him going to the Cowboys.
I believe it to be true. I really do. And the reason why I can believe it to be true is because of the amount of money, without getting into, you know, contractual technicalities, the guaranteed money that they've given both Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
They have a competition already.
Yes, they do.
And they've got both the old hat in Sam Bradford, who's, I don't think, ever really performed the way he did early in his career. I'll say his first 2 years in St. Louis. And you got Chase Daniel, who's never really been given an opportunity, but is being paid almost as if he's a starter for an NFL football team to compete for that job. And lastly, if I were Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to Philly. But that all being said, Carson Wentz seems to be the likely pick at number two if, in fact, you are going to sit any one quarterback. To sit back and watch. It would make all the sense in the world.
It would make all
the Rams need a guy to come in and start. That seems to be your guy, Jared Goff. Carson Wentz, whether it's here in Cleveland, whether it was, you know, maybe in San Francisco with, you know, Kelly liking Gabbert and rejuvenating his career, he would sit probably a year. He will definitely sit in Philly and learn his ropes from the sideline.
He certainly would. And so how does this all shake out? I'm sure many of you are wondering. What does this all mean for the Cleveland Browns, et cetera, et cetera? What does the old trade chart say about this
deal?
You
sound like Willy Wonka, et cetera, et cetera, when he's reading the contract at the end.
Et cetera, et cetera. I love that. Great movie.
It's a great movie. My son, we just watched Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory back to back.
Which one did he prefer?
He likes the first one.
The original. Johnny Depp was a little weird.
The Tim Burton's a little dark.
Johnny Depp's a little weird. The original's a little dark, but
yeah, but
Johnny Depp's just so weird.
The ride through the chocolate tunnel and the chocolate river is where it gets kind of weird. I mean, it's weird, yes.
Yeah.
But where it gets a little dark
is talking about Oompa Loompas, bro. I mean,
the original Oompa Loompas. I don't want them all looking the same.
I agree. I enjoy the original Oompa Loompas. Yes. Great singers, songwriters as well. So here's what it says right now. Here's what it says.
What does it say?
On the old, outdated Jimmy Johnson chart, which way overvalues early picks in the draft, the Browns would be giving up pick number two, which is 2,600 points. The Browns would receive pick number eight. That's 1,400 points. The Browns would receive 77, 205 points, and pick 79, 195 points. Now, next year, what I did was take an average first-round pick. I took the middle of the first and middle of the third. So it could be a little bit better than this. Could be a little bit worse than this. We don't know. It depends where the Eagles end up. Pick 16 would be worth 1,000 points. Pick 80 would be worth 190. So you add it all up, 2,990 points of value the Browns would receive. They're giving away 2,600 points of value. That leaves a net for the Browns of 390 points of value, which is akin on the old chart to the 51st pick in the draft. So the Browns would basically be making this deal, getting all these players, and still, even in that old chart, which people don't think is valuable anymore, picking up for free a second-round pick. Okay?
Yep.
Now, there was a guy at Harvard named Kevin Mears who wrote an article for the Sports Business Journal at Harvard, and it was called How to Value NFL Draft Picks, and he goes through and created a completely new way of looking at it. And he did this by looking at career approximate value over average for every pick in the draft using all historical data of every pick ever made in the NFL draft. So what he did was and went through this whole analysis.
Is this that Jason Gibbs live in the basement at the parents' house guy?
I will not say that because I'll get to the punchline there in a moment.
Please
so
do.
He put together this new chart. CAVOA, and I'll tweet out the article to this and also the finality of the results here. But if that draft trade were on the table under this chart that was created by Kevin Mears from Harvard, by the way, Kevin Mears is now an employee of the Cleveland Browns. Underneath there's Paul DePodesta, then there's Ken Kovash.
It's levels of Harvard guys.
And then there is Kevin Mears, who is the director of football research. So he, on his chart, would say the Browns are giving and getting as follows. The Browns trade away pick number 2. That's a value of 435.7. The Browns would receive the same picks. I did 8, 77, 79, and then the following year, the exact middle first round and exact middle second round. In this trade, the Browns net 483 points of value, which, according to his chart, is basically like getting the number one pick in the draft for free.
Wow.
So a massive value there for the Browns. On either chart, that trade looks like a great value for the Browns. On either one. So, and people are tweeting it out right here. I'll retweet it for everybody right now. But this is exactly what the Browns are looking at. This was made by a guy who now works for the Browns and is a very intelligent man. Either way you look at it, either trade chart would say that framework that's out there between the Eagles and the Browns right now is a good deal for the Browns. If the Browns are using the framework created by a guy who's now in the building, which I'd imagine there might be a proclivity to do so, it's a home run trade for the Browns and the kind of haul that can be franchise changing. And so if the Browns do not believe that whatever quarterback remains at number 2 is not a franchise quarterback, this becomes a very attractive option.
Oh my gosh, yes. I just... Without getting into the details of whose perspective of the value, and it's very difficult to essentially use the Cleveland Browns. We'll exclude their first round picks. Nate Orchard is probably going to be a strong role player, if not a starter at outside linebacker. And where did we draft him?
48th overall.
Correct. Duke Johnson, who's going to be the two of our 1-2 punch of Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, where was he drafted?
Third round.
There you go. And Xavier Cooper, who we moved up to get, saw a little bit about what he could do as a rookie, but played as a rookie and will probably have a larger role with that first step in this Hugh Jackson team. But Ray Horton defense was also drafted in the third round. Okay. So three guys in the second and third round, this is excluding Cam Irving and Danny Shelton, are playing a role as young players on a Cleveland Browns team that is hopefully getting younger and getting the experience with Hugh Jackson, and they're going to take their lumps, but in 2 years from now should be hitting their prime. Okay,
yeah.
I like those swings at the plate. And I think this year, as we've gone through our mock drafts and we've talked through how a lot of people say 15 to 45 are a lot of the same guys, and everyone's evaluations are different. That doesn't mean that those 30 guys all get picked between 15 and 45. Some of those guys could be available between 50 and 65.
Correct.
And which gives us more swings at the plate.
And in this draft, we've heard that, you know, basically, depending on how you look on it, there could be guys at 20 to 80 that could be 20th on one team's board, 80th on another, but there's a lot of value in that range.
Correct. And even look at the Dane Brugler's draft guide. You know, there was a name that you looked up yesterday, and one guy had him.
Peter Schrager had him going 32nd overall, and Dane Brugler had him going in like the third round.
Correct.
Yes.
That's the discrepancy that every team has. That's why there are mass amounts of scouts and multiple seats at that table to come through with an evaluation.
Absolutely. So that's where it stands. Gibbs, are you there? He's never there. He's not taking calls right now. Unbelievable. Where is he, Wilhelm? What do you think he's doing right now?
Someone is most likely doing something technical under the board.
Around him.
In and around the tree trunks of Jason Gibbs.
Yes, indeed. Well, listen, we'll tell you then what we've got coming up. Eventually, we'll find out what Jason Gibbs thinks of this. But in the meantime, we'll tell you what you got coming up here on today's edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. And, of course, we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, after the team's first minicamp practice yesterday. We will hear from him at 1:30. At 2 o'clock, we got sound bites from the Mel Kiper and Todd McShay conference calls. 2:15, it is Mailbag Wednesday, so you can tweet us your questions using the hashtag AskCBD or go ahead and tweet at Browns_daily. 2:30, Charles Robinson, who from Yahoo Sports, their senior NFL reporter, wrote an article on the rumored deal between the Browns and the Eagles. We'll get the latest from him. So that's what we'll be looking at. 216-578-0850. That's how we'll take your calls. We'll get to your takeaways. What do you guys think? Gibbs.
I was answering phone. We have full phones, baby.
Okay,
people
good.
Want to talk today.
What do you think of that?
About which part?
About did you hear the values of the trade, et cetera, on both the old chart, the new chart?
Yep.
So what would you think of that trade? And again, let me
say
this.
With the Eagles?
Yes.
I'd run tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's go right. You know what? I will go to Berea. I will walk into Sashi Brown's office, pick up Sashi Brown's phone, so that way it knows it's coming from Sashi Brown's phone, and I will say, I'm representing Sashi Brown, and I'm in. And I'm just going to hang up and walk out the door. I might not be allowed back in the building, but I'm just saying. If you can get a first round and a third round next year, too, that's a lot of picks, man.
Yes.
And frankly, but I heard Riz earlier today. You don't make the trade until you know for sure that Goff is off the board.
Yep.
You don't make the trade right now. You got 7 or 8 days. People are going to get more and more scared and worried and overreactive the closer we get. People are going to do stupid things. You can get people to do stupid things, especially come draft night. If there's a chance that you're going to take Wentz and the Eagles know that their only way to get Wentz is to trade up with you and it's all of a sudden real and it's right there, there's no way that they'll give you more. You might end up with more. So I think you talk about it. You say, I'm very interested. Let's talk on draft night.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at it, the value on both charts favors the Browns. The new chart, which was, again, created by a guy who works now for the Cleveland Browns, basically says you're getting the value of the first pick overall in the draft for free. And you're basically getting 5 players in the top 80 over the next 2 years in each of the next 2 drafts. Now, it could have some variation depending on if the Eagles win the Super Bowl or if the Eagles have an awful season. You know, if they are trading up for Carson Wentz, that's not helping their football team this year.
No.
They're not going to have a 2 this year. They're not going to have either of their 3s this year.
That's why the Elliott seems – because Philly has been linked to Elliott consistently at 8 for at least a month, okay? And Elliott may, in fact, be in play because of the 2 quarterbacks that they have, and they feel they are that one player, that consistent running back – in Ezekiel Elliott, that he's A, that good, his value is that high, and he's an immediate impact maker for that football team to give up what they need to give up.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, it is a good value. Again, as I say always, if the Browns believe that there is a franchise quarterback available to them at number 2, they take that quarterback. That's my belief. That's what I want. That's what I stand for. Because until you have a quarterback, you have nothing. If They don't believe that the guy there is that guy. You trade down. Now, another interesting thing to think about is if they are coming up for Ezekiel Elliott, it's certainly possible that that quarterback that was there at number two is there at number eight. From what I've heard from people in the Bay Area is that the 49ers were all Goff, not Wentz.
Okay, so yeah, and we'll go through it. Go. Chargers, not drafting a quarterback.
No.
Cowboys.
Now they might.
Smokescreen.
But
Jerry
probably,
has spoke and said that they probably won't.
Probably won't.
Okay, five, Jacksonville's not.
No.
Baltimore, six.
No.
Not. Seven, San Francisco, all Goff, no Wentz.
So
eight,
far.
Philly.
Well, and if you trade eight, so it's possible that you could make this trade and Carson Wentz could be there. So at that point, if maybe you weren't a totally sure on him, do you take the gamble because now he is worth to you? Basically, you're getting the guy you thought about taking it to. You didn't love, but now it's like at eight I get him, and I'm getting a future first next year, and I'm getting three threes.
But,
so I'm still getting Goff. I'm still getting that quarterback, but adding four more players.
What if we wait and get closer to the draft, and sources, as they always do, come out and kind of let Philadelphia know that we don't want Wentz, and Philadelphia realizes that Wentz might still be available at eight. Guaranteeing they go get Wentz, they move up to two.
Sure.
Okay. But there's a possibility that if we don't feel like he's a franchise quarterback, what do? We trade back and need a partner. What if there is no partner? We have to draft it two. And if Carson Wentz is not that guy, he could still fall to eight as he would have for the Cleveland Browns.
The good news is it sounds like there are some other teams getting in the mix. The 49ers potentially getting in the mix, talking about it. The Buffalo Bills, I've heard, potentially getting in the mix at 19, which would be an even bigger haul, I would say. And then after that...
You would say, I would hope.
Yeah, a bigger haul. And then after that, the Jets potentially are interested. Again, I don't believe that any organization in their right mind would make a trade like that for a running back. So I'm going to operate under the assumption that they're coming up to get a quarterback. If you basically are saying that you're going to pick this year and next year, without first and thirds, this year without first, seconds, and thirds, to get a running back, I just don't see that happening.
But do you feel like the mentality in Philadelphia, because they've shored up the franchise quarterback thing in their mind with either Chase Daniel or Sam Bradford, that they're one player away from competing for that division for the next 3 years?
Yeah, and they could also
It's a sense of security, takes the pressure off of the new head coach and the new staff by grooming a quarterback. When is he going to play? And you get Elliott right now, it's plug and play with Ezekiel Elliott.
It is. Now, another thing to think about is that the last 2 years, they've drafted three wide receivers in the top three rounds, the Eagles. Nelson Agholor last year, yes. Jordan Matthews, and Josh Huff the year before that. Could that be a piece that the Browns want thrown in, one of those receivers?
I don't know Huff. If I want Agholor, but I'll take Jordan Matthews.
I'll take Josh Huff. Third rounder out of Oregon, 6 foot, would immediately come in here, could return the kicks for
Gibbs
you.
Gibbs needs a break.
Could do a lot. Gibbs, you'll get a break when I'm ready. And I am ready. We'll be back with more CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Smells like they're doing some fumigation around this area as the renovations continue here in Berea. Wilhelm, how you doing over there, buddy?
Good, man.
Good. Good. Good to hear it. All right, we got full phone lines, 216-578-0850. Obviously, the Browns continue to be at the top of the news right now as the attention shifts to them and what they will do with that number two pick. Let's go to Lewis in Shaker Heights. Lewis.
Whatever Philadelphia is trying to offer us, I think we should take it. Like I was telling you, your screener, I spent last summer in Philadelphia and most of the football season, and they're more than just a player away. As a matter of fact, I think they're going to go 2-4 in their division, and if we take their first round next year, it will be a top 10, I guarantee you. So hopefully, you know, we don't end up in the top 10, but if we do, we'll have two picks in the first, in the top 10. So whatever they try to do, whatever they're trying to give us, we need to take it because they're more than just a player away, and they're in total disarray. They're a mess. So
and I think I wouldn't. I also think the 49ers are. I mean, I think the Niners have a chance to be the number one overall pick, the number one overall pick in the draft next year. Let's go to John in Bellefontaine. John, welcome.
Hey guys, great show again as usual.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think Hugh Jackson is going to be a fine coach for the Browns. I really do. I know it's just an opinion again here. RG3 excites me. Okay, and there's Dak Prescott out there who's similar to RG3. I would take Ezekiel Elliott with that number two pick because I think Hugh Jackson likes Ezekiel Elliott. And there's so much upside with Mr. Elliott, as we all know. I think that's the way to go here. There's wisdom in what the previous caller just said, too, and what you guys said, too, about the value of those extra picks. However, Joe Thomas is sitting there, and this, I'm not saying he's debilitated, but he's getting older. And I'd sure love to see Zeke Elliott running behind Joe Thomas making those cuts and the blocking for the quarterback and doing all the things that he does. And then you've got Dak Prescott, who's a similar quarterback to RG3, so your offense is already set up for a running-type quarterback who can throw on the run. I mean, you've got all these extra weapons that way. And I think Hugh Jackson's thinking that way. I really do. I don't know about the Browns front office. What do you guys think?
I think Hugh is actually pretty happy with our running back situation right now with Crow and Duke. I think that they're happy. And I can tell you, Isaiah Crowell's come back in here and is in the best shape that I've ever seen him in. His body looks completely different to me.
You're absolutely right.
Lean.
We saw the same thing. Lean like an NFL running back should, not thick. Lean.
Correct.
Lean. My question for you, Nathan, is we do have 10 picks. We've been putting so much onus on the number two overall pick and what's going to happen at number two. Say we stay at two and we keep our 10 picks. That means, the trade with Philly's not happening. Could you see us potentially adding a running back at some point in the mix in the fourth to sixth round, that is handpicked by Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta, Andrew Berry, and Hugh Jackson, just simply because it makes sense. It keeps the youth movement going because Isaiah Crowell, the wear and tear, if he becomes the guy we think he can be, 2 years from now, we're hopefully re-signing him, keeping him here. If not, he's on his way out, and we have that next guy in this building.
Yeah, there are quite a few guys, actually, that I like. Jordan Howard out of Indiana.
Yes, I like him as well.
I think could be good because I think you're looking for the physical guy. I think they feel pretty good that they've got their Gio Bernard-type guy in Duke Johnson.
100%.
So you're looking for a big physical guy. I think this is actually a pretty good draft in those rounds. Alex Collins from Arkansas is a good one. Jonathan Williams from Arkansas. I like CJ Procese from Notre Dame in the third round. So if you're picking up, and by the way, you pick up all those picks, you have the luxury of taking a guy like that that you think could be another weapon for you. I'm all for bringing in some competition at that running back room. If they don't, I'm also fine with it. I think they would be pretty good as well. Now, could they sweeten it with getting a player in the seal again? Josh Huff is somebody I certainly would love to get them to throw in. I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's an interesting time for the Browns, and I think the Browns are in a pretty good spot. I think the hope, number one, by the way, I went to bed last night, and I've woken up today, and you know what I'm doing? I'm in acceptance. I've been in denial, and now I'm in acceptance. If Jared Goff ends up a Brown, I will moonwalk. I will dance.
You mean you think about Jared Goff? Like after 3 p.m.?
I was just thinking about the whole situation. Yeah, I think about the Browns right now. This is a very important time of year, Matt Wilhelm. My brain does not stop operating on the Browns calendar, clock, watch, whatever, just when I leave here.
Because especially on Tuesdays, my mind goes from Browns
to the
Giants very quickly.
But that's fair. I don't have that. So what I'm doing is focusing completely on this. That's what I'm doing. I'm focusing on this, what's going on. I've come to the point where I'm accepting of the fact that Jared Goff is probably not going to be a Cleveland Brown. It hurts. It makes me sad.
My percentage went up yesterday to 90.
That he will.
That he will not be a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
90% chance that he's going to be drafted by the Los Angeles
Rams. My percentage is really at 100. I think there's
I'm keeping the 10% available to give you hope.
Thank you.
It's just for you.
If this was a TV show, you'd have seen a great handshake right there. There's my guy, Mr. Al Saunders, who yesterday was dominant. You wouldn't know this guy's a very young man, young at heart. Al Saunders out there as Sashi Brown strolling through.
I have a great Al Saunders story from yesterday.
Bring it.
From minicamp. Andrew Hawkins catches the ball.
I love Al Saunders, by the way.
Andrew Hawkins is you know, sprinting down the sideline, and Saunders is on the far side of the field yelling at him. Saunders starts sprinting, dead sprint behind him, like, I'm going to catch him. Hawkins gets into the end zone, starts to slow up. Saunders comes up behind him, knocks the ball away, and starts talking trash.
Oh,
hold
yeah.
on to the ball. Hold on to the ball.
I love him. And
he literally ran farther than Andrew Hawkins did.
And again, Gibbs, you just sharing that story, and Nathan, I don't mean to cut you off, but details like that, the fun of a coach having fun with a player, but having the intent behind it be severity of ball security, always hold on to the football, don't ever put it on the ground, and you never know when someone's going to come pop it out. It's a fun way to function in the reality of football. And that mentality, those actions are what I lived a lot of my career in because I was in winning teams. The relationship between player and coach, but yet if you execute and execute at a high level, you can make practice, which can sometimes become tedious, so fun.
So fun. And Gibbs, would you agree with this? There was more energy, enthusiasm, and actual coaching and involvement from Hugh and his staff in maybe that practice than I'd say I saw from my 3 years with Chud and Pet staff combined. Just
it
in one day.
Very hands-on. It was very – even Hugh last night after practice said that was – you know, you never know what to expect for the first team on-field workout. And he even was like, that was an impressive tempo. That was an impressive energy.
I read the presser, you know, the transcript, and I was blown away.
I mean, I posted some videos last night on Browns Daily's Twitter handle on the ESPN.
You really
Cleveland.
Did a great job of letting everybody feel like they were there, Gibbs. I want to give you that. I mean,
I tried.
Photography, videography, emotion.
Tried. You know,
capturing
you do what
it.
You can. I got a fantastic running back drill. Fantastic. Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart.
Doing a lot. That right there, you see the hands on. He's actually in the drill. He's actually knocking guys around as they go through it.
This is, again, the staff's got 120 years more of NFL coaching experience than the previous staff. Think about that for a second. You know what was going on in 1895? Me neither. And I was a history minor.
Probably some war.
Yes, somewhere.
Well, someone was flying a kite.
Yes, kite flying was popular. That was the attraction. Wilhelm would have thrived in 1895. All right, we'll be back with more. We'll keep taking your calls. We are going to hear, by the way, we are going to hear from head coach Hugh Jackson, Charles Robinson, perhaps McShay, perhaps Kiper. We'll see. We don't know. We don't know if we'll have enough time. It's a great little Wednesday here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here on CBD. Talking trade. Again, when you think about this from the Browns standpoint, we went through the rumor deal that's out there. Win on the Jimmy Johnson chart for the Browns. Win on the Kevin Mears chart for the Browns. A big win, in fact, number one. Number two about this, and some people are just going to have to accept the fact that, you know, if the Browns are to make a trade like that, it just means that they didn't view Carson Wentz. I think the hay's in the barn. Jared Goff's going to the Rams. Let's all just deal with it. I talked to somebody today who was willing to bet their life on it that Jared Goff's going to the Rams. So the hay's in the barn there. So if the Browns are going to make that trade, it just means that in the evaluation of the Browns, Carson Wentz is not a franchise quarterback, and that they believe they're taking their swing at the plate at the quarterback position this year with RG3, who's a former rookie of the year and a former guy that everybody in the NFL thought 4 years ago was that guy.
Yeah, the more and more I think about it, And that's why I said that, why I named Cooper and Orchard and Duke Johnson, and that were in our minds and the minds of Browns fans, those are the picks of guys who are no longer employed. Those are picks of guys that are no longer here. Okay. So there is some sort of pressure on Sashi Brown to hit on 60% of the draft picks that we have in every given year. First round, and I know that it reduces, but the good ones bat 50%.
Yep.
Okay. And I would think, with being optimistic, we're going to hit 60%, then we're going to hit 40. So we're going to be right around 50%. If we draft 10 guys, if five of them are re-signed by the Cleveland Browns and play well in their first 4 years, we are well on our way. So adding more swings at the plate, and we've constantly talked about swings at the plate. Gosh, give us as many as we can. We've talked compensatory picks even before free agency started, what we could potentially have. We now know what we have. Give us more. That allows Paul D. Podesta to spit out a brand new analytical report. You know, allows Andrew Berry and his scouting staff to dig deeper into the trenches of where our grades are and who potentially could be available. As I'm sure this time period is the staff going through mock drafts and mock drafts and mock drafts. You know, their ears are to the street. What are teams going to do? Who would Philly take it to if they come up? Is it a quarterback? Is it a running back? Where does Tunsil go? There are so many things that have changed now that the Rams have popped up to number one. And our guy, as all reports and your report and your heart has been with, in Jared Goff, gone.
Gone. Goodbye.
Changes everything.
G-O-F-F, now spelled G-O-N-E, gone.
Say it.
He's
say
Jared
it
gone.
You can now say it the right way.
He's Jared gone.
Jared Goff.
Jared. He is Jared Goff, our board. And I hate it. I hate it. 216-578-0850. Let's go to the phone lines now. Eddie in Westlake. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Eddie, there?
Edward.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hello? Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, okay. So this is my take on this. I talked to you guys before about it, and I wanted to really just kind of create competition at that quarterback position. But this is my thing on this trade down, because, the philosophy is, if you don't – in this draft, I'm not really enamored with any of these guys. When I look at them, I just have so many, like, question marks on all of these defenders. But in a draft that I got question marks, I can't fall below 7. I mean, when I look – I don't want to take a running back in the top 10. I'm sorry. I can find somebody that's going to probably end up having a better career than Ezekiel Elliott, better. Just get better at scouting. But after that top 7, it's a drop-off. Because then you start talking about some Zeke Elliott, and then it's other – it's just question mark. If you can get in that top 7, the top 7 players, you can at least get you one of the top one of the better defenders. Or better defenders for the most part, because it's the two quarterbacks and the defenders. So, I mean, you can at least get one of those defenders if you're in the top 7. I don't want to drop out of the top 7. And, I know we're talking about two-thirds and all of that. All I know is I'm supposed to have Julio Jones. I'm supposed to have Odell Beckham. I'm supposed to have, Sammy Watkins.
Can I ask you one question just real quick?
Yeah.
How many playoff games did that trio win combined last year?
You're right. That trio didn't win any. But this is the thing, though.
You need blue chip players. And
no, I know. You need
them. I don't disagree with you.
No, but I mean, I'm just talking about from a perspective of, okay, let me ask the question this way. On your team right now, the way it's currently constructed, would you rather just have Julio Jones, or would you rather have Phil Taylor and, Brady Quinn? I mean, whatever else was in
no,
that
No, but
trade
I would
now.
Have rather done – I would have – let's hold on. Think about it this way. It's about – you're focusing on the execution, not the process. The process in that trade was correct. The execution was poor. The process in the Sammy Watkins trade was off the charts correct. The execution was poor. You could have made that trade last year for Sammy Watkins – and taken at number 9, Odell Beckham, who was still on the board there, come back and not traded up at 26 to 22 and kept that extra second. And then you could have taken at 26 your pick of Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr. Then at 35, you could have taken Betonio. And with that extra second you had, you could have taken Allen Robinson. So if you do that deal and execute correctly, you come out of that draft with 4 cornerstone players in Odell Beckham, in Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr, Joel Betonio, and Allen Robinson. So if they did that and executed properly, all of a sudden, that's a franchise-changing draft right there.
Yeah, I don't,
they didn't
I don't,
execute, but no, the process the process was right. Don't let failures of people who are not these people cloud your mind about what these people are doing. The process can be right. The execution can be wrong. It's like when you go to the casino and you know you're sitting there with an 11, you're supposed to double down against a 6. It's not always going to work out. But the process is right. Don't be results-based, especially when the results were made by people who were not making the decisions now. Again, that process in that year was right. If you executed on that right, and let's say not only that, in that pick you got 19, that could have been Shane Ray. That could have been a lot of people coming to the Cleveland Browns, okay, that were still on the board at that time. So that trade could have worked out. And by the way, Cam Irving might end up being your center for the next 10 years, which would work out and be just fine as well. So these are all things to think about and ponder. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. And by the way, I don't mind moving down to 8. And quite frankly, if the Browns move to 8 and there isn't somebody that blows their socks off at 8, I would totally be happy to move back again, get more picks, and take the number one receiver on the board. Because I think that's where the sweet spot for that receiver is in the late teens. And I think you can get Josh Doctson there. If you got Josh Doctson came out of this draft with a couple future ones, maybe at 3 ones the next year, think about that. We're building. This is a building. This is a reboot. It's a build. And that's what the Browns are trying to do. If they can't get their franchise quarterback and they make a move, that's what the Browns are trying to do. Bob in Strongsville.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
All right. I'm going to be very, very honest with you. I was around when the Browns won the last championship. Sat and watched it with my father, listened to it on the radio. And I'll tell you what's the problem with the Browns. The problem with the Browns is that you guys think that you're all smarter than everybody else. Let's trade this. Let's trade that. Hell no. Stay put. You've got so many holes on this team.
Isn't that the exact reason why you would trade down? Because you have so many holes?
No. Because you have no impact player.
Hold on. I got to interrupt. I have breaking news right now. The Philadelphia Eagles, this has not been confirmed by anybody in our building, but the Philadelphia Eagles have just tweeted out that the Browns and Eagles have made a trade. This is coming from the Philadelphia Eagles official Twitter. Again, this is not coming from the Cleveland Browns. According to this, the Browns will get pick number 2 overall, the 2017 fourth-round pick of the Cleveland Browns. The Browns will receive number 8 overall in the 2016 NFL draft, number 77 overall in the third-round pick this year, number 100 overall, a fourth-round pick this year, a 2017 first-round pick, and a 2018 second-round pick from the Eagles. Again, the Philadelphia Eagles are reporting right now on their official Twitter that they have agreed to trade with the Browns to acquire the second overall pick in the draft. Again, the Eagles will get number 2 overall and the fourth round pick of the Browns in 2017. 2017 fourth round pick. The Browns will get the 2016 first round pick, number 8 overall, 2016 third round pick, number 77 overall, 2016 fourth round pick, number 100 overall, a 2017 first round pick, and a 2018 second round pick. This is reported again by the Eagles. Adam Kaplan has said the Eagles have announced it. I have not seen again. We have not gotten confirmation from the Browns yet, but the Eagles have announced it on their official Twitter. We will take a break, and we will get your reaction to this as well as confirmation from the Browns as soon as we can here on CBD.
ESPN Cleveland, breaking news.
That's right, folks. It is official. The Browns have made a trade in the 2016 NFL draft. The Browns sending number 2 overall and a 2017 fourth-round pick to the Eagles. In exchange, the Browns are getting 5 picks back, a net of 3 picks, and they're all early. Number 8 overall in the 2016 draft. Number 77 overall, third-round pick in the 2016 draft. Number 100 overall, an early fourth-round pick in the 2016 NFL draft. In 2017, the Browns get the Eagles' first-round pick. In 2018, they will get the Eagles' second-round pick.
And the most positive thing, I guess you could say, is that an individual that is very well-known, follows the Philadelphia Eagles, says they're still going to be a mess in 2016, which means is that 2017 first-round pick most likely will be inside the top 15.
All right, so if those wondering, what does this mean on the Kevin Mears draft chart for the Browns? It means the Browns are netting 427 points of value. That 427 points of value equivalent, you guessed it, to the number two overall pick in the draft. So the Browns, in the way that they're looking at it, is they received all of that value, and as if on top of it, they got back their number two pick in the draft.
So they're getting jump they're in drafting value. 8 and 2.
Basically. That's what they feel like. So they're getting 8 and 2. So basically getting back all the value that they traded away right there. So they're getting all this stuff in their minds for free. Again, on the Kevin Mears draft trade chart, the Browns picking up 430 points of value, which is equivalent. Guess what? Second pick overall in the draft valued at 435.
What's hilarious is just the
frenzy.
We are in a glass radio booth, and the frenzy that this trade has created here in Berea. We've got Sir Andrew running off with the hair flopping in the wind. He's running so fast. Working to put out, you know, our official release, working with the social media team. I think it's great.
So there it is. The Browns officially announcing it. They have completed the trade. A great haul for Sashi Brown and a lot of assets here for the Browns to go ahead and build the future of this organization for the Browns as they get a future, a first, getting a first, two ones, a two, a three, and a four in exchange for a one and a four. Not bad for the Cleveland Browns doing it there. Let's get your reaction. So far, the reaction on Twitter that I am seeing is that people are very, very excited and think this was a very good deal for the Cleveland Browns. A lot of assets, and certainly the Browns making out with an opportunity to really build here something in the future. Again, they will have two ones this year. I mean, they will have a one this year. They will have their two. They will have two threes, two fours. Next year, they will have two ones. And the following season, they will have two twos. A good haul for the Cleveland Browns. Again, this deal is done. It is confirmed. The Browns have moved. Two draft day moves. What this means are a couple things. Number one, it means that they know Jared Goff was going off the board one. You don't make this trade unless you have, if there are any doubts in your mind going into this trade. You don't make this trade. Number two, it does mean, I believe as well, that the Browns didn't love what they weren't enamored enough to make a franchise quarterback out of Carson Wentz at number two overall.
So now it's left to believe, do the Philadelphia Eagles believe that Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback? And if...
I believe they do. I don't think that you do that unless, of course, you believe that it's getting done.
But I think as we talked prior to this coming to reality, Carson Wentz may not see the field in Philadelphia there for two seasons. And you've leveraged
correct a
lot to get to two to go get your guy, and he's not going to play?
That's the other thing. Think about it. This guy's likely not to contribute at all for that team, and the Browns have their first-round pick next year.
And they're not.
And they don't have a two. So right. I think it's a pretty good
let's
thing.
Let's hit the phones. Everybody wants to talk trade.
All right, let's go. Let's hit the phones up. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Nick on a cell. Nick, your reaction.
Oh, man. I'm almost as giddy as Goldhammer when they drafted Johnny right now. This is exactly what they should have done. I don't think those two quarterbacks were the guys that they should have taken. So I couldn't be more excited, and I think they need to pack out as many players as they can right now. And, you know, everyone's been calling for a rebuild since week 10 of last year. That's what they're doing. Have a little bit of patience and see how it plays out. I'm excited. I picked up a second season ticket for this year.
There you go.
I can't wait to get down there and watch it happen. Hey, it may not be the glory this year, but now we're primed next year that, hey, if we don't have the quarterback, we're primed to take the best quarterback available next year. I mean, you know, and then who knows who that's going to be. Last year this time, who knew who Jared Goff even was, you know? So I'm excited. So let's
awesome.
Go, Brownie.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
Dane Brugler said a lot is to be made of the analytics of this deal, but it is more about Hugh Jackson and the Browns not loving these quarterbacks, and then the Browns really wanted to stockpile as many picks as possible to rebuild this roster, and this trade will certainly start that process.
It certainly will. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Rob in Piqua. Rob, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. First, I just want to say you two are great great at what you do. I appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Show. I think the trade's excellent. I was a Goff fan myself, and I figured, obviously, he was off the table with taking this trade. Looking forward, I'm kind of a hypothetical guy. If possible, you know, if we could maybe make another trade, maybe make a trade with the Titans back to 15, maybe take one of their second-round picks that they're holding and maybe look for, like, a wide receiver like Doxon or Treadwell.
I like that. I think if you get more, move back and get more picks and get that wide receiver, I like that. I think that certainly would be a good move. John in Virginia. What's up, John?
How you doing, fellas?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I was just wondering, Nathan, you mentioned it. They better absolutely know that Goff is gone, because I feel like this team can't even lose right, in the sense of, like, Jared Goff has been my man since the beginning. It would be so Cleveland Browns-ian if on draft night they go with Wentz at one.
I don't think the Browns make this trade unless they know that. I truly believe that.
It would be unbelievable. I would have to, at that point, reconsider what I've been doing with my life the last 40 years. Anyways, let's hope these guys do it right. Thanks for the show, guys. I love it.
You got it. I love this. Some of the outpouring is, now I want three teams to lose every game in 2016 and 2017, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Philly.
That's
right.
Makes
a lot of sense.
Yep.
And then the Nathan Zagura can put the lotion away, no more Goff.
It's over. Bye. I came to terms with it last night.
Did you come to terms with a lotion of choice, the Vaseline or the, is it
there are children,
Jergens?
There are children listening to this show. I got in trouble for saying effing one day. Somebody was like, my son listens to the show. I had to explain it to him. So Matt Wilhelm, stop
effing.
It. Yeah. I don't remember what I even
effing
said.
Effing vodka? I love
Which
effing vodka.
Good.
Black cherry with
Black
7
cherry.
Up.
Fine flavor. Fine flavor. 216-578-0850. Frank in Kentucky. Frank.
Hey, guys, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
So I'm actually not in favor of this trade right now.
Okay.
The thing that I'm most worried about is, so let's get to week 16, and the two quarterbacks that we've been talking about for months are out there getting better, you know, pushing their teams forward, and we're stuck playing Connor Shaw again because we have nobody in our depth. I mean, I just don't understand why everybody thinks that we're going to be able to get this rebuild off the ground without actually having a solid quarterback in place.
Well, again, let's not forget. Just let me ask a question. Let me ask a question to people right now. Do you feel that it is an absolute certainty because that Carson Wentz is a better prospect than RG3?
Yeah, actually, I really do, because we don't really know what RG3 is going to be like. I mean, how can
So hold on. So you don't know what RG3, who's been the rookie
he's
of the year.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
In the National Football League and won a Heisman Trophy. You don't know what he's going to do in the NFL, but you know what a guy who played at the FCS level, you think it's more of a sure thing.
Yes, I do, because how are we supposed to know that that's what RG3 is going to be like if that was 3 years ago? We're basing it off of one season, and then he's had multiple injuries.
You have more comfort in a projection on a quarterback who's played 2 years at the FCS level.
And how many years
over
as
a quarterback
senior?
Who played in the National Football League?
How many games as a senior, too?
I absolutely do, because when you guys watch this kid's film, watch him perform.
I have. I was not impressed.
I don't care who it was against. The kid has shown promise. He's got superior arm strength. Everybody was raving at his pro day. You guys both were. I saw it on Twitter. You guys were both very enamored with him. So I don't understand how everyone's opinions just changed so quickly.
Oh, hold on a second. Gibbs, are you listening right now?
Yeah, what's up?
Have I ever been on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
No, not from day one.
So don't say that. That's absurd.
I'm not saying you were on the bandwagon, but a lot of you guys were tweeting about how impressive.
We did the same thing for Paxton Lynch.
He can do things that are impressive that I never thought. I never thought he was a franchise quarterback. That was my belief. I thought it was. I mean, come on. At least listen to what we're saying.
And for him to say that I was adamant,
it's crazy.
Am I even on Twitter? So for me to say that I was backing anybody.
No.
it was verbally on this show or not at all.
All right, let's go. Was that, who was that? Was that John in Virginia?
No, we're going to John and Kenton now.
Let's go to John and Kenton now. John.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm actually really good right now. One of my best friends just called and he was like, "We're gonna take the Heat down." I don't know that. I live in Ohio State. I've got a Matt Wilhelm bobblehead on my desk.
Awesome, man.
But I'm still not sure that's the right. I mean, get up, Wilhelm. I'm not sure that's the route we need to go. I agree with you on the on trading back. If Tennessee is dumb enough to trade back up to maybe get Tunsil,
I certainly think. I think that more moves are on the way. Let's go to ESPN. Adam Schefter weighing in on the trade.
And you pencil in Goff here, Carson Wentz here.
This is also Lewis
Riddick.
Let's
try that one more time.
Would you have the feeling, guys, that both these teams know who's in place? For the Eagles to make the move
I think most people think the Rams – the Los Angeles Rams are going Jared Goff. That's the inclination right now, that they're going to go Jared Goff. And so I think the Eagles, like the Rams, both teams, when they make these trades, are good with both quarterbacks. Let's emphasize that. The Rams don't make that deal without having a preference. And the preference is Jared Goff. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles go into this with a preference. And the preference is Carson Wentz. So both teams give up a boatload of picks, but both teams get themselves in position. Again, I think they assessed the future free agent classes. They looked at the future draft classes. Mm-hmm. They didn't see a lot of quarterbacks out there, which is why there was a premium paid now. And how often do you see, Mel, do you ever remember this being the case, where the top two teams in the draft are usually the worst teams with quarterback needs? Well, the Cleveland Browns had a need, but they valued the picks with the new front office more than they valued the quarterback. So this is a case where it's extraordinarily rare that the two top teams trade out. Last year, we didn't see action until the 15th pick in the draft. And already this year, we've seen three teams trade top 10 picks. And the Philadelphia Eagles went from 13 to 8 to 2. Don't forget, part of this trade is really Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso as well, because that enabled them to get from 13 to 8.
That's the most interesting team right there, the Cleveland Browns. Because everything you said, Adam, and we talked, Lewis, about quarterback, how important it is. These teams feel a need to get that quarterback. The Browns said, okay, we don't worry about it next year. Next year could be Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Who knows how good he'll be, or whether he'll be worthy of the pick, or whether they'll have the pick. I said yesterday they're a glorified expansion team, and they basically are. Now they have to make these picks count. In this fantasy league of picks, they have them now.
But it looks like they'll give Robert Griffin III a real chance for the starting
job. I don't think they want
now.
A competition. I think they want him to be the guy be the without guy. Anybody looking over, him looking over his shoulder to any rookie or having any controversy, and we'll see what happens. My point is, that's a big question mark. They're in a division where they're the bottom end of the four teams in the division. Philadelphia is saying, okay, we want the quarterback moving forward. They don't want it, Cleveland. All I can say is they got to get a quarterback. They better figure it out between now and the start of the season, and certainly for next year.
In a philosophy, we're not quite sure how it'll play out in the draft. I think we all kind of had an idea that they really wanted to have a boatload of picks, the Browns did.
I think, quite honestly, I know this isn't really, you know, the most in vogue thing to do. I think this is a smart move by the Cleveland Browns. I think it's smart to kind of build up the rest of this roster right now because, you know, look, their history has shown them that when you take a quarterback high and you don't have rest of the components around them, no one is saying right now that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz can put a whole organization on their back and take the kind of beating that they're probably going to have to take if they go to a place like this. And you don't have enough ammunition to really build it up around them and still have them succeed.
That's the problem, Luke. That's the issue. See, they would have RG3 to be the quarterback now. So if you're trying to build it up, who are you building it up for? And is RG3 going to be the guy? And while you're building it, you could have Carson Wentz out of a 1AA program with limited starts being developed and not having to be the guy to take that big. So once you do improve the team and the personnel, as you say, and I'm calling glorified expansion, then you would have your quarterback maybe ready to play in year two or three.
But I think that it's this, though. I think the composition of that quarterback room is very, very important. Very, very important. I don't see Robert Griffin as being the kind of guy that is good for a young quarterback and those two working together and that quarterback really benefiting the way he should as far as sitting and watching the guy in front of him.
Cleveland's now saying, though, we're taking these picks. We're going to build the roster. We'll worry about the quarterback later. Philadelphia Eagles are in a situation here, again, where they paid the money to Sam Bradford. They paid the money to Chase Daniel. And this, in their world, is perfect. Because keep in mind here, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach is Doug Peterson, former quarterback. Their offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, former quarterback. Their quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, former offensive coordinator in Cleveland. Both these quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, both wanted to and were interested in playing for Philadelphia because of that coaching, because of the coaching they get from those guys, and those guys believe they'll get.
That's some of the discussion at ESPN. We're going to hear what Michael Silver has to say when we return here on CBD.